being able to finish his Thunder World. That's when he decided that the next time he would fly around the world, it would be without being limited by fuel, and it would be using no fuel at all. And this is how the idea of Solar Impulse began. So then he teamed up with our other co-founder, André Borberg. And André Borberg led the construction of the airplane. And here we are now. So André Borberg and Bertrand Picard, who are the founders, are also our pilots. And they're the ones that are flying this plane across around the world. So this is a very, very special plane. It's a unique plane. There's only one. It's a one-of-a-kind plane. So a few interesting facts. It has a 72-meter wingspan. That's bigger than a Boeing 747 wingspan. It only weighs, for such a big wingspan, it only weighs 2.3 tons. So that's the weight of a normal car. So that's, for you, like, that doesn't sound, I know there's a few engineers here, so for you, I think you realize how impressive that is. This airplane is only powered by the sun. And in order to do that, we have some solar cells that are on the entirety of the wingspan, on the body, as well as on the vertical stabilizer, for a total of 17,248 solar cells. And these power the four motors. We have motors in each gondola, which are very, very, very unpowerful. They're only 17 horsepower. So basically the power of a small scooter. And this is the only thing that powers this airplane. They're very efficient motors. They have a 97% efficiency. And to give you an idea, a car motor has about a 25-30% efficiency. So there's very, very little loss. This thing was made to be as energy efficient as it could be. And it was a real challenge building such a technical airplane, capable of flying day and night using only solar energy. So Solar Impulse is a one-passenger airplane. There's only one person that can be in the airplane. So it's a very special airplane in that sense, where it wasn't made to transport passengers. It was made to transport a message. The message that you can be an innovator, you can be a pioneer, you can be an entrepreneur while using only clean technologies. It's really to promote clean technologies and show that this is the future, that we need to start being careful with our resources. I'm sure you don't know this, but with the technology we have today, we could reduce by half the CO2 emissions that we produce. So this is a project that has many, many partners. We have beside a few, we have Solvay, ABB, Schindler, Omega. These are all partners that are not implicated in the aeronautical business. They're not at all involved in aviation, but it's very interesting to see that while combining all their efforts and their expertise and technology, we managed to create this airplane, and we actually managed to ameliorate some technologies or create some new technologies that we used to be able to have this airplane, but that are now available on the market for any consumers like you or me. So if I take an example, for example, this is an unpressurized cockpit. It's an unpressurized cockpit because we had to limit the weight of the aircraft. So the decision was taken to not pressurize it. And in order for the pilot to be as comfortable as possible, there's an insulation foam. The cockpit is made out of insulation foam. You can see it, the white part of the leaf right there. This is an insulation foam that is produced by Biomaterial Science. And if you were to go and buy a refrigerator today, 70% of the refrigerators would be made with the same foam, the same isolation foam. But this is just to say that all these technologies which were built for this airplane are now available to the market for any consumer like you or me. So what's very interesting as well is that is that all these partnerships also allowed us to. I'm really sorry. I have a big blank right now. What I was gonna say. So yeah, sorry about that. I started saying something and then I didn't know what I was gonna say anymore. This is the second airplane we have. We had a first prototype, which was the SI-1. This is the SI-2. And with the first prototype, we did a few missions. We did the first paid country to other country mission from Switzerland to Belgium. Then we did the first crossing of an ocean, going from Switzerland to Morocco, passing through Spain. Then we did the crossing of the United States from San Francisco to New York, recreating one of the most famous flights, the Wright Brothers flight, which was the first pilots. And we recreated their flight going from San Francisco to New York. All these missions allowed us to gain some experience and insight on how to produce this airplane that's much more energy efficient and with which we were able to fly around the world. Because with the first prototype, we wouldn't have been able to fly around the world. This also, not only did this help us create this new aircraft, it also helped us gain some experience in terms of logistics and organization, because we need to, you do not see this, but we need to transport all the material. We have a whole team that's traveling with the airplane that needs to travel as well. And these are all logistical issues, as well as organizational issues, because we fly over a lot of countries. This is a very slow airplane. It flies at about 90 kilometers an hour, so that's very, very slow. And it's another challenge for us to coordinate with air traffic, because there's lots of, you don't see it, but there's lots of planes flying at all times, and we need to coordinate air traffic with all the other flights. Having such a slow airplane is not the easiest task in the world. And we also need to get flight permits and landing permits, and when we land, we have a very special, airports need to close down their airspace just for us. It takes some time. It's not just land and I go to the terminal. We need to have some people that catch the airplane on the runway. And we need to have some bikes on the runway. And as you can imagine, contacting an airport and telling, okay, listen, we're arriving. We need to land in your airport. They're like, oh, okay. So they're like, oh, we need to have some people on the runway. Usually you see no one on the runway. So it's quite difficult to organize this. It's quite a challenge on multiple levels. So on the logistical level, for all the reasons I mentioned, on the human level, because you may not, I don't know if you followed the project, but to fly from China to Hawaii, as it was expected, there was a 120-hour flight. So for one person staying in such a small cockpit, flying for so long, only resting for 20 minutes at a time, so about 10 times 20 minutes a day, that's 200 minutes in a day, that's very little. Again, the reclinable seats, that is actually reclined now, so you can't see it. And this allows him to take 20 minutes of rest. And what is very interesting is that we did a simulation in 2013. We did a 72-hour simulation in which the pilots were in the same environment that they are right now flying this airplane. And during that simulation, we measured their brain activity and other body functions. And what was very, very interesting is that at the end of the simulation, their concentration levels were the same at the end and at the beginning, only sleeping 20 minutes at a time. So in order to attain that, each pilot has his own method. Bertrand Piccard uses self-hypnosis. And André Borberg uses yoga and meditation. And this allows them to rest so for such short periods, but for them it's an equivalent of about a 3-hour sleep, which is very impressive. So as I said, it's a challenge on multiple levels. It's also a technical challenge because it was very difficult. All you engineers must understand that. We had to build an airplane capable of flying day and night without fuel. The last flight we did lasted for 44 hours. And this is very difficult for us because this means that we need to have an airplane that's capable of flying for such a long period without any maintenance. When you have a regular airplane, you'll fly for, I don't know, sometimes maybe 10, 14 hours. But once you land, you have maintenance, everybody checks everything. For us, this means you have to have an airplane that flies for 120 hours with no one being able to do some maintenance, to check if everything is functioning properly. That's a very big challenge for us. So in theory, this airplane is completely sustainable. Once it's in the air, it could fly forever. The next step is making the pilot sustainable. We're not there yet. So, as I said, Solar Impulse was not created to transport a message, to transport people. It was created to transport a message. This is why we created the Futurist Teen Movement, which is a movement that we have that promotes teen technology. And our aim is to, we have a website, which is futuristteen.org, and people can go and we ask them, I want concrete actions for a teen future, and people cast their vote, they say yes, I agree, and they subscribe, and our objective is to have as many votes as possible, and in December of 2015, in a few months, There's a summit on climate change, and our objective is to have as many votes as possible, and as many voices as possible, and to bring them and show all the decision makers of the world, all the political leaders, and show them that people are interested in clean technology, that they support clean technology, for them to have the courage to develop these clean technologies. So when you all go back home tonight, I'm counting on you to register on futuristteen.org because every voice counts. And also, we have a point system where the more you promote the project, the more you gain some points. And the person that gains the most points wins some plane tickets to come see the landing in Abu Dhabi. So if you do your job well, maybe I'll see one of you guys in Abu Dhabi when we land. So,
why this plane?
This is basically the method of Solar Impulse is really to promote clean technologies and show that you can be an innovator using only clean technologies. Does anybody have any questions?
No. Where are the batteries?
So the batteries, we have batteries in each gondola.
And the engine?
Exactly, the batteries and the engine. We have a battery and an engine in each gondola, so we have four batteries and four motors.
Okay. And how long will they, on a full charge, how long will they go?
So on a full charge, you know, it depends on how much you need to use them, and there's a lot of factors that come into play. But maybe what I can say, I forgot to mention, the way we were able to fly day and night is that the airplane flies up to 9,000 meters during the day. At the end of the day, when there's no more sun, it starts gliding down. So it glides from 9,000 meters to 1,500 meters. This allows it to gain some to keep its energy. Once it's at that altitude, it flies at that altitude until the sun comes back up, and once the sun goes back up, it starts going up again, and at the end of the day, it starts over.
It's always enough at least to go overnight.
So exactly, that allows us to. So it's very interesting when we have some flights. We leave early in the morning. We have maybe, I don't know, I'm saying a number like that. We have maybe 30% battery, so we'll fly. We'll take off, and at the end of the day, when we land, we'll have more battery than when we took off. The battery will be mostly full. And this is, when you think about it, it's quite impressive.
So I heard you decided to come to Japan, so in Aomori. Why do you come to Nagoya? Because I'm in Niigata. Niigata is close to...
Okay. Next time I'll tell them to go in Niigata. What happened is that we had a weather window that allowed us to fly from China, from Nanjing to Hawaii, but we can only have precise weather forecast on 3 days, and this is a 5-day flight. So we leave without knowing if we'll really be able to make it. So after 1 day of flight, we have the forecast for the fourth day, and after 2 days of flight, we have the forecast for the fifth day. What happened is we left with a window that looked good, and during our flight, at the beginning of the night, the weather window closed, and we were unable to reach Hawaii. So we had to find an alternate place to land. So we landed in Japan. This was an unexpected landing. But we're very, very happy to be here. We had a great welcome, and we thank everyone for the great help and the great welcome and interest that we got here in Japan.
So it just happened to be Nagoya.
Happened to be Nagoya, yes.
Okay.
So we were in contact with multiple airports, and it happened to be Nagoya.
That was the most suitable airport.
At the moment, it was the most suitable airport. Any other questions?
Would you give me the wattage of the battery?
The voltage?
Yeah, what wattage? I mean, how many kilowatt hour for each battery?
That's a very good question, and unfortunately,
you
I don't
give
know
me,
the answer.
Yeah, later on.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And is it a lithium-ion battery?
Another good question.
I expect the reply later on. I mean, later answer because, yeah.
Okay, okay, great.
Battery maker?
Lithium-ion battery, I don't know. How many kilowatt hours? I don't know.
Any other questions?
What maker is it? I'm curious.
What about the solar cells?
The solar cells?
Are they monolithic or polysilicon? And also the make? Maybe you could.
So I know they have a very good efficiency. They have a 23% efficiency.
Yeah.
This is more than the average solar cell you can find in the market for a consumer. That's usually about 16-17%. The most efficient solar panels are 30%, but those are the solar panels you find on satellites.
Uh-huh.
And they were too heavy for us to use on this airplane. What's very interesting to say, I forgot about to say about the solar cells, is that they're very thin. They're 135 microns thin, that's the thickness of a hair. And they're very efficient. The 23% is 23. Very efficient for solar cells.
Probably tank question.
でもそのなんだ積層型にすればもうちょっといいけど重くなるって話しましたね。23%。関係省の23って3%かな。教えてくれないのか知らないのかどっちかですよ。
We could either take the northern route or the southern route. Now that we're here in Japan, we can only take the northern route.
Yeah.
So yeah. Before we had two options in terms of weather, now we only have one route. So even more weather dependent than we already were.
We have a lot of infographics. We don't have the Japanese, but.